Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the broadcast. I am your host, Rob Zakaria. This is the Rob Zakaria Show, and we are live once again. All right, where do we begin? Where do we begin? That is the question. This is one of those days. Well, it's one of those horrible days. It's like the San Bernardino shooting, but amplified by 10. Amplified by 10. So it's crazy. It's where do we begin? That's the question. God, and I, you know, this happened Saturday. My head raced with things to say and thoughts and so forth and so on. And here we are. I feel like I can't even get it all out. I feel like everything is a jumbled mess. Where to begin? Which issue to talk about first? Because there's so many. There really is. There's so many. Rather, it's the terror attack and the fact that most of us on the right said after San Bernardino, this is going to happen again. This is going to happen again. This is going to happen again to the media trying to spin this, trying to somehow direct everyone's attention away from this being a terrorist attack carried out by a Muslim. And there's a whole bunch of things that are in the middle. Issues that are similar to San Bernardino, similar to Fort Hood, similar to UC Merced. You have Muslims killing Americans. Rather, these Muslims are born here, or they were born in Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan. But their generation, their lineage, their heritage, all comes from the Islamic faith. And there's a pattern. There is a pattern with all of these attacks. There's a pattern. They follow patterns. And then, of course, you sprinkle in the Obama administration, and to watch them dissect what is homegrown, what is domestic, what is foreign, what is terror, is like watching Bill Clinton talk about fellatio and the is and sexual relations. And now it's like watching Hillary Clinton discuss emails and wiping servers, like with a rag. So these are all of the things that have been running in my brain since Saturday. These are all the things. I said, I got to talk about this. I got to talk about this. Oh, my gosh, look at this detail. Oh, my gosh, this is new. Oh, my gosh, we have to discuss it. So I guess the best way to start it would be to take us a little back in time. So Saturday night, I'm sitting there getting ready to go to bed. It's, I don't know, midnight, maybe 1 o'clock. The shooting started, the incident started a lot sooner than news coverage on television broke. I first seen action going down on Twitter. Shooting at a nightclub. And I think it was about 2 o'clock. That the news channels broke in and started going live. And I remember watching this and them talking about a shooting and possibly 20 dead in a nightclub. And the first thing I thought was terrorism. There was no, I wonder if this is a young trailer park trash white man wearing a Confederate flag. No, I didn't think that. I didn't think that. It didn't fit the MO. I sat there and thought, we're in Ramadan. There was just a recent report. Of course, many of you who only watch CNN and MSNBC and ABC for any news whatsoever wouldn't have heard about the report. But there was just a report that a terror cell was calling for soldiers to strike Americans during Ramadan. There was a cell. There was also the ISIS leader. It wasn't just one random person. So I thought to myself, you got Ramadan. You got calls to kill Americans. It's a nightclub. Kind of fits the MO of Paris. Fits the MO of the shooting that went down in Tel Aviv a few days ago. I bet this is a terrorist attack. I mean, guys, I'm not a national security expert. Just common sense. And that's what we're lacking in our country today, is actually common sense. I mean, I don't want to jump all over the place, but, you know, you have the media, which is all liberal. I call it the extreme left, the extremist left. They're the Democratic Extremist Party. And that is made up of the media. It's made up of Hollywood. It's made up of tech companies. And to listen to some of these people talk is, it's insane. It really is. Like I said, I don't want to jump all over the place, but when I see somebody like Perez Hilton or other celebrities talking about there's blood on the hands of the NRA. When I hear people say, this is the gun's fault. This is the assault rifle's fault. I'm beside myself with anger. And there's nothing any of us real Americans can do about it, because we don't control the media platforms. We don't control the media platforms that hire people like Perez Hilton or Sally Cohen or Sarah Silverman. We don't control the media platform, because if we did, they would be gone. They wouldn't have jobs. They wouldn't have jobs. But we are part of a party that still believes that laying out millions and millions and millions of dollars for obscure congressional seats will change America, will change policy in America. And that's not just, it's like wishing for Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. It really is. It really is. For celebrities like Perez Hilton to say, F you, NRA, you have blood on your hands. F you to every single gun lobbyist. And F you to those who don't support gun reform. The gun did not go into that club without somebody controlling that gun. And that person controlling that gun was under investigation by FBI before. This person had traveled to Saudi Arabia before. Our government once again let us down. The gun needs to be handled by an individual. The gun needs to be picked up by an individual. You have to look at the individual. You have to look at the individual. The individual. So it's amazing. It's amazing. When these things happen, when these terror attacks happen, listening to left-wing extremists, extremists that are part of the Democratic Party. And if you vote Hillary Clinton, ladies and gentlemen, if you vote Hillary Clinton, there's going to be so many more of these attacks. There's going to be so many more of these attacks. I mean, just the amount of attacks under this president. If you count bodies, it's not more than how many were killed on 9/11. But the incidences, our safety, how vulnerable we are, how weak and how handcuffed our law enforcement, the FBI, how they are under this president. I can't imagine that the FBI and law enforcement are really that naive and that dopey in their investigations and in their surveillance. I don't believe that. All federal law enforcement operate under the Justice Department, the Attorney General. Ultimately, if the Department of Justice says to the FBI or Homeland Security, this is what we want you to do, these are the new procedures we want you to follow, and you can't stray away from that, I got to imagine everybody follows. Got to imagine everybody follows. So if we had a president, if we had an administration that wasn't so worried about what Islam thinks, what Muslim thinks, these things wouldn't happen. These things would not happen. Because every time one of these things go down, there were red flags. There were red flags all over the place. And if we would have acted on these red flags, it would have avoided all this carnage. But we never acted on these red flags because the administration, whether it's Valerie Jarrett, whether it's Hillary Clinton, whether it's Hamoun Abedin. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on. They don't want people to think we're profiling. They don't want people to think we're doing these things just because those people are Muslim. And it seems like a silly, I mean, when I hear myself say this, I myself say, wow, that seems silly. Am I really saying that? Are we really saying that? Are we really saying that all of these things happen because they're afraid of what people will say? Of how they will look around the world? But that has to be the only answer. Because we have put Americans under surveillance for years for doing things like gambling, for doing things like loan sharking. We have spent hundreds of millions of dollars going after mobsters who've had gambling rings, loan shark operations, things that involve only the seedy underbelly of American life, degenerate gamblers, things of that nature. I mean, listen to me. There's mafia figures from John Gotti to the Chin Gigante that we had under surveillance, wiretaps, you name it. We had these people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year after year after year. And when the indictment comes down, you're talking about loan sharking, union corruption. I mean, you're talking about things that never resulted in the slaughter of men, women, and children. And yet, our government now does an investigation on somebody that's having conversations with people that are known terrorists, suicide bombers, people that have pledged their allegiance to killing Americans. And after a few months, the FBI, which gets their marching orders from this administration, comes out and says, there's not enough evidence to keep watching this person. There's not enough evidence to keep... You don't think there's just evidence to watch this person if the person is communicating with terrorists? Well, it's not illegal in America for people to associate with terrorists. What? What? I mean, it's insane. Listen, I'm not defending the mafia. I mean, I'm not like, oh, you go after the mafia. I'm just trying to make some comparisons to investigations that have gone on throughout our history of criminal organizations. Forget 60 years ago, just from the 80s going forward. And when you hear the FBI say, well, there's so many people in the United States that engage in activity like the activity of Omar Mateen, and we just don't have the manpower. We just don't have the manpower to have surveillance on all of these people. And I think to myself, so what you're telling me is there's thousands of Muslims in America that are associating with terrorists? There's thousands of Americans that associate with terrorists? So there's thousands of Muslims that are here in America that associate with terrorists, and there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans that associate with those Muslims who associate with, I mean, isn't this troubling for anybody? So when I go to the grocery store, there's a good chance that one of the Muslims that are serving me groceries or in a restaurant food is associating with a terrorist. I mean, this is I don't believe this. I don't believe that there's thousands and thousands of Muslims in this country that are associating with terrorists and that are going back and forth to terrorist hotspots. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think that's something that the FBI says again because the Obama administration puts out these cheat sheets, so to speak. Says, here's the things that we're going to say. Here's the things that you don't say. I don't believe that that's true. It better not be true. It better not be true. If we are interacting with terrorists or Muslims that are associating with terrorists every day, then there's a real problem in this country. There's a real problem in this country. And instead of seeing five or six or seven gaps between terrorist attacks, you're going to see 3 and 4 month gaps between terrorist attacks. You're going to see 1 and 2 month gaps between terrorist attacks. You're going to see weekly terrorist attacks. I don't believe that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims in this country that are associating with terrorists and that are traveling back and forth to terrorist hotspots. Don't believe it. I think it's something that the FBI has to say for people to not go, why are you not doing your job? And then they have to go, because the Obama administration tells us we cannot do our job. So it's a cover. It's really a massive cover. You cannot tell me that there are thousands and thousands of Muslims in this country who associate with known terrorists, who travel back and forth to places like Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, that have family ties to terrorists like this Omar Mateen, and there's just thousands of them, and the FBI has no manpower to watch all of them. It's insane. That's insane. If that was the case, we would be getting attacked every single day. And if this is true, then we are going to be getting attacked every single day. Again, I don't believe so. I believe there's a lot but I don't believe there's thousands. I believe there's a lot. And the Obama administration says you can't do anything to them unless they are actually committing a crime. You can't do anything to them. And if you put them under surveillance or you harass them, it will be profiling. It will be wrong. For some reason, this president, this administration, the people that are involved with this administration, from Hillary Clinton to her closest advisor, has a soft spot for Muslims and the Nation of Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood. The list goes on and on. That's the problem. That's the real problem. That's the real problem. That's the real problem. If we would have had surveillance on this guy, if people were watching Omar Mateen, okay? If people were watching Omar Mateen, he would never have done what he did. But he didn't buy his assault weapon at a gun show. The guy was a security guard. The guy worked for a company that had ties to the federal government. This guy worked for a private security firm. So this guy had legal clearance. This guy had legal clearance to have weapons, purchase weapons. So he didn't go get his guns at a gun show. There was no loophole at a gun show. The loophole was with our federal government. And of course, you're not going to hear that from the media. You're not going to hear that from the Obama administration. What you're going to hear is, well, we investigated them and there just wasn't enough evidence. There wasn't enough evidence to do what? There wasn't enough evidence to do what? When you're told that Luigi Three Fingers is running a gambling empire in the boroughs of New York, you start to investigate. You don't see Luigi Three Fingers. You just hear that Luigi Three Fingers has a gambling ring. Maybe you get introduced to somebody who introduces you to somebody where now you could place bets, but you don't place bets with Luigi Three Fingers because Luigi Three Fingers owns the gambling empire. You place bets with One-Eyed Louie, but that's not who you're after. You're after Luigi Three Fingers. And you're only after him because you were told of this information. So what do? You invest millions of dollars that the Justice Department gives you, and you set up surveillance. You set up vans. You set up wiretaps. And this goes on 1, 2, 3 years. 4 years, and then eventually Three Finger Luigi is indicted on 78 counts of gambling. But never once did the FBI, the Justice Department, have contact with Three Finger Luigi. They're just connecting the dots, and all the dots have added up, and Three Finger Luigi goes to trial. Our federal government, this administration, could have easily had surveillance on this guy. One guy. You talk about manpower. One guy. That's it. You have a couple low-level field agents keeping an eye on Omar Mateen. It's not that hard. And I go back to my first statement. If you're going to tell me that there's thousands of Omar Mateens and we don't have the manpower, then we are in serious trouble. We are in serious, serious trouble. I can't explain to you how much trouble we are going to be in. Because if there's thousands of Omar Mateens, there's going to be these types of slaughters on a regular basis. If there are thousands of Muslims that are here and they've been integrated into our society, so they're sitting next to us at our bank job, they're sitting next to us in front of the computer at our tech job at Yahoo. Because that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. When you hear Hillary Clinton and the rest of these propagandists saying assault weapons ban would have saved lives, what they're saying is, well, death would have happened because we're not going to deal with the real problem. Death would have happened. It just wouldn't have happened as bad. So we still would have had murder, but instead of 50 dead and 50 injured, we might have only had 10 dead and 20 injured. Instead of rooting out the problem, which is radical Islam, and the minute you travel to a hot spot, the minute you travel to a hot spot and you are a Muslim, the minute we catch wind that you are talking with a suspected terrorist or a known terrorist, you are under surveillance. And if we do these things, we won't have these attacks. But to say, oh, we're just going to ban assault weapons, and that will make everything better. And just like what happened in UC Merced, and I guess this is acceptable for Democrats. This is acceptable for extremist Democrats. This is acceptable for the media, which is, well, then they'll just get a knife like they do in Palestine. and stab people. We won't have the carnage. We won't have the mass casualty. Well, why is being stabbed acceptable? Why is that being acceptable? If we can stop, if we can stop Ahmed or Omar from doing this, why don't we? Well, we don't have evidence that they're going to do it. We just think they might do it because they're following in the pattern of somebody that would do it. So why don't we watch them? Well, if we did that, we would need thousands of FBI agents. So you're saying there's thousands of people that live in the United States. See, that's what's getting lost in this whole picture. Just like San Bernardino. You had somebody that was traveling to hot spots. You're having somebody that was getting a bride from a hot spot. You're having somebody that was doing shady stuff well before the attack happened, and people were afraid to say anything. And again, this person was on the radar in some form at one time and was basically forgotten about. It's baffling to me. It's baffling to... Listen, you realize that if we had a Republican president for the past 7.5 years, you realize Republicans would be run out of not just Washington, but out of this country. If we were having these attacks under a Republican president, there would be so much backlash. There would be so much outrage against the president, against the FBI. Against, you think there's backlash against law enforcement because they shoot somebody that's charging them, or I mean, think about all the drama that we have with the police officers. Some of the drama, okay, police officer shouldn't have done that. But out of all the things that the police go through, if you add up the bad things that happen, you're talking about a fraction. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that when you have attacks against Americans that involve Muslims, everybody on the left, the media, the Democrats, you, the celebrities, everybody on the left wants to remind you that the bad Muslims are just a small, teeny tiny fraction. Just a teeny tiny fraction. And the majority of Muslims are loving, wonderful, beautiful people. And that is constantly beat into our heads. Constantly. It's literally a never-ending beatdown. It's a never-ending beatdown. But anything that involves a police officer that goes bad, you have a rogue cop of some kind. the left, Hollywood, the media demonizes all police officers. You have people like Beyonce making videos that are condemning all police officers. Why do we give a pass? Why do we give a pass to Muslims? Why do we give a pass to people that don't live in this country? Why do we give a pass to a religion? Why do we give a pass to individuals that murder innocent Americans? But when it comes to our own police, we demonize them and call them all corrupt, evil bastards. Why do we do that? Why does the media let that happen? Why do the Democrats let that happen? Think about that. And then just to throw a little cherry on top of that think cake, these incidences with the police, they're not just walking up to an innocent person and choking them out or shooting them 6 or 7 or 10 times. All of these incidences that happen are technically excessive force incidences. So they involve people doing stuff that's bad. And the issue is the police taking it too far. So Eric Garner, who's resisting arrest, who's breaking the law by selling loose cigarettes, as silly as that sounds, ultimately, he died in his excessive force situation. And in turn, police are demonized all over this country. Michael Brown, the little boy in Cleveland, Freddie Gray. These are all situations where people are either up to no good, or the police think the person is up to no good, in the instance of the little boy with the fake gun, pointing it at people. But at the end of the day, these are horrible things that happen, horrible things that happen. And some of these police were a little aggressive. The guys that shot the little boy, they were a little aggressive. The Michael Brown situation was a little aggressive. Sure. And we could debate that. But how do you then demonize all police? How do you demonize all police? How do you go with that and make music videos? Or you're demonizing all police. How do you do that? But when it comes to Islam and Muslims, there is no excessive. There is no criminal activity that you can debate. There is no running from the police and you get arrested and you maybe get a rough ride. This is a guy walking in to a nightclub, opening fire, and slaughtering 50 people. This is a couple going into a Christmas party and slaughtering over 13 people. This is a student running around campus stabbing and slashing other students. This is opening fire on a Marine recruiting station. And these aren't people that are deranged madmen. These aren't people that are dressed like the Joker. These aren't people that are insane. These are people that are operating like normal, everyday citizens, carrying jobs, being doctors like Fort Hood, school. I mean, these are people that are following an ideology. And yet, we give Muslims and Islam a pass. And we say, oh, there's just a small little piece of them. But we seem to dismiss everything else in the Muslim culture that goes against everything we believe in as far as American values. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we've created a standard now as far as Muslims go. That as long as they don't kill us, as long as they don't blow us up, everything else is acceptable. Everything else is acceptable. You know, the media, celebrities, Democrats, were all shocked. They were all shocked that this guy would attack a gay club. They were shocked. They were shocked that a Muslim would not like gays. And a Muslim would kill gays. They were shocked. And again, are they shocked because they're being naive? And this is part of the subterfuge, this is the rouge? Or are they generally that out of the loop that they don't watch the videos that are all over LiveLeak and different sites that are not YouTube that show people in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Iran killing gays? Like killing them, hanging them, throwing them off towers. Do they not see that? Do they not hear about that? Or are they pretending it doesn't exist? I mean, this has been going on for years. For years and years and years and years. So why is it a surprise? Why is it a surprise? Why is it a surprise? It's amazing. It's amazing. The standard, the low bar that we've set for Islam is basically, as long as they don't kill us, they're a good, peaceful, loving religion, and the people that follow it are just awesome. How's that for a low bar? How is that for a low bar? Seriously. I've never heard of a lower bar than that. Well, as long as that Muslim doesn't blow us up, kill us, hijack an airplane, they're good in my book. Really? What about the whole women are property thing? Ah, it's all good, long as they don't kill us. Really? Okay. What a low bar. Congratulations, Muslims. Congratulations. The bar has been set so low for you that as long as you don't kill us, you get a pass on everything else. A woman not being able to leave the house without the permission of a man? Hey, as long as your man's not blowing us up, it's all right. Being covered from head to toe, giant black sheet. There's nothing weird about that. As long as under that sheet there's no bomb, it's all right. Throwing gays off towers and hanging them, it's all good. It's all good. I mean, the bar is set. It's such a low level that this is what Islam is at now. My writer is, this story's gonna be 17 pages. It really is. This is gonna be a 17 page story. Because this is all we're gonna talk about today. This is it. This is all we're talking about. Hillary Clinton loves this. You know why? Because Friday, a report surfaced that she sold a spot on a nuclear panel. Seriously, like not just some lame ambassadorship to Angolia or the Bahamas or whatever the hell they give goofy ambassadorships to. This was, if you give me $5 million, I will put you on the board of a very, very important panel involving nuclear activity. Even though you have no knowledge, no history, no schooling in what I'm putting you on, you gave me $5 million. That came out Friday. This attack never happened. That's what we'd be talking about today. The fact that the Clintons are... it's, you know what? It's not even that they're at it again. They never stopped. But because we had another horrific attack perpetrated by a Muslim, and when people go, Rob, he's American. Okay, and he's a second generation, okay? He's a Muslim anchor baby, if you really want to be technical. Both his parents from Afghanistan. Okay? You all remember Afghanistan, right? Okay. The father is an ally of the Taliban. You guys remember the Taliban, right? Before there was an ISIS, before there was an Al-Qaeda, there was a Taliban. Yeah. Before those two terrorist groups, we were fighting the Taliban. Well, the Taliban is old news. It went to Al-Qaeda, and then it went to ISIS. But we'll get to that in a few seconds. We're going to take a break. We need to take a quick break. Okay? We need to make a quick break. That way this episode isn't one 3-hour telecast. You know, we have some breaks. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about a horrific attack, and hopefully this is the point when America wakes up. All right? Hopefully this is the point where America wakes up.